It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
We haven't even hit the hotel yet, so we're still on the bus.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see and what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. You can do so at any of the usual places in podcast land. That includes Spotify and Apple Podcast, and NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have been actor Michael C. Hall. You know him from Dexter and 6 Feet Under. We talked about his latest release with his band Princess Goes. We had Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Rap Boys, Westlife, Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, Jerry Harrison of The Talking Heads, Idina Menzel, The Hives, Barry Manilow, the filmmakers behind Heart of Stone, They Clone Tyrone, Landscape with Invisible Hand, to Being Mary Tyler Moore, and Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast. That's just a few examples of what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, catching back up with Corey Taylor, the Slipknot Stone Sour lead singer, back with a brand new solo record. This is the second one, CMF2. We're going to be discussing the genre-defying set, writing on mandolin for the first time, and his admiration for David Bowie and Trent Reznor's courage and career foresight. Corey's also going to give a hat tip to Ray LaMontagne and Ani DiFranco for both of them inspiring the acoustic side of his musical world. And we'll dissect Slipknot's penchant for hooks and where he continues to get his anger from before diving into his work with the legendary magazine Famous Monsters, which he recently bought. And he'll tell us about their plans for a semi-annual magazine and the movies that will fall under that banner as well. So let's do it and talk CMF2. It's Kyle Meredith with Corey Taylor.
Hi, man. How you doing? Sorry about the background noise. I'm still on the bus. We haven't made it to the hotel yet, so you're just going to have to deal with, you know, just when you thought you couldn't get over my voice quick enough, now you got this bus noise in the background. So there you go.
Just something to lull us into comfort is what it is.
It's like a soothing thing
for babies. Yeah. Man, it's good to see you again. Last time we talked was on the last solo record, and here you are back again. I mean, you're always busy, but this thing, I think I laughed last time when I listened to it. Not laughing, you know, but it's almost right. Like your solo records are like a challenge to us to show that you can do anything. You do all the genres. It's like...
Right.
I was thinking like Arctic Monkeys had that album, Whatever You Say I Am, That's What I'm Not. And you just like ran with that and took it to heart.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's crazy because every time I think I'm running out of songs, I find a folder on my computer and I find like four songs I forgot I wrote like from 15 years ago. I'm like, what are these? What the hell? You know? So I swear I'm not trying to do this. It just happens, you know, like, I mean, it's a good problem to have.
I do love the record. I mean, seriously, it's the heavy moments are heavy. The ballads are beautiful. I mean, it's really kind of everything you want in a style like this. And it starts out, I mean, that song, The Box, at the beginning, which anytime you put, you know, a mandolin or anything on that song, of course, I'm going to start thinking of R.E.M. And
Right. The cool thing about that is that piece was actually the first thing I wrote on mandolin after I bought a mandolin. So it was the first thing that came up. I tuned it to a very specific, tuning, and I just started tinkering, and that thing just came out of me. And I was like, well, there's the intro. I mean, it was literally that quick, man. It was crazy.
You know, that's the same story with Losing My Religion.
Right. I remember hearing that. And that line is so beautiful that it was just like, how could you not, you know?
Well, the way it even, like, this is the track that sets up the record. I mean, it seems like very purposeful. You know, you're talking about, here's the show. It's like, you know, it's on with the show. Like when you're putting this together, how much thought goes into this as, I don't know if a conceptual piece is the right way to say it, but it does sort of set it up like you're in for something.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I knew on this album, I wanted to focus a little more because the first album was just such... was just almost like a kind of a collection of songs. You know, there wasn't really any specific direction. It was just, listen, I may never get this opportunity again. Let's just put out these songs that I've had over the years and see if anybody likes them, you know? And once I realized that people were really into my songwriting, that's when it really became okay, I've got the audience. Let's see how far we can push this now. You know, let's like hone this in and really take people on a journey. So from the second I started kind of, you know, fashioning this thing together, I knew that I wanted the intro to be almost a spoiler for an explosion musically, you know? So when I wrote that piece, I was like, well, this is the intro, you know? And then it became a challenge of how do we make this thing sound haunting yet familiar and really inviting? You know, so it just, you know, when we were putting it together, it was just like, I don't want anybody to use regular instruments. I want people to bring in something that, you know, sounds like a dobro, or it sounds like, you know, like it was so much fun to build that moment and to hear it put back together and to really have that kind of really take the album off. I was just like, this is going to be special, dude.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with. Like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Corey Taylor. Well, it makes sense too, because, you know, hearing even later on down with Midnights and even Starmate, because, you know, Midnight, I think I was reading like Bowie inspired, which, you know, Bowie's like my North Star when it comes to
very,
you know, anything artistic and everything. But that's, you know, that's what we got with every one of his records right to the end, you know, with Lazarus. I mean, that was sort of thing. What was it about Bowie that you were taking from?
Oh, his courage, dude, is ridiculous, you know? Not only that, but I don't think he ever really got the credit that he deserved everybody called him chameleonic. And that wasn't correct because he was always ahead of the curve. He was ahead of the trend. He was always running with whatever was going to happen next, man. And people were trying to keep up with him. So to me, it was almost this prescient idea that he just had a really great idea of what was going to be next. I mean, Ziggy was a precursor to really what, you know, punk became, you know, Scary Monsters. And I mean, that was a precursor to what was going to become, you know, new wave really. And it just all fell into place. He just knew what was going to happen. You know, for me, that's kind of the inspiration that I take from him, you know, not just the fact that he was a brilliant songwriter and just absolutely fearless when it came to like putting music together, but when it came to just, you know, putting something out and not caring what the trend was, not caring what was selling, not caring what felt safe. That's what it is. It's what, it doesn't matter what feels safe. This is what's coming from my heart. So it may be different, it may be dangerous, but it doesn't matter because it's coming from me. And that to me, that's the greatest, you know, lesson that I've taken from him. Not only from him, but Prince. I mean, just a host of different, you know, artists over the years who they went with their heart and they didn't care about what was, you know, selling. They just, you're like, listen, you're either going to dig this or you're not. After it leaves my hands, it's up to you.
And it's so interesting too, the way, I mean, and I'll throw this compliment your way as well. I hear this in your music because it's the way they would, like, for him specifically, I've been listening this week to the Station to Station album more, and, you know, Golden Years is on there.
Yeah.
And I've heard Golden Years a million times, but for the first time I started hearing it, I guess, mathematically, like the way he lays out that first line, "Don't let me hear you say life is taking you nowhere, angel." And it's complicated, right? But it's in this other, you know, it's shiny and you can sing along to it.
Right.
That's what I say. I find that those moments happen on your record, whether they're intentional or not. That's sort of in there because there are these challenging moments, but it's still, and I mean this in, you know, the most broadest term possible, it's still sort of in the pop structure. You know, it's still there.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how to write something that doesn't have a hook. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a melodic hook. It's just something that catches the ear, because I think that's part of the reason why Slipknot has stayed around as much as possible. We've always had that ear for candy, basically. You know, we've always had that ear for what's going to draw the audience in and keep them there and keep them wanting to hear whatever, whether it's a vocal hook or a music hook, it doesn't matter. So to me, it's something that's just in my DNA. I can't help it. So why fight it? You know, why try to write something that doesn't get stuck in somebody's ear, you know, like Wrath of Khan, it's always going to be there, you know? And that's, to me, that's my favorite part of songwriting, is just kind of trying to maneuver and also trying new things, you know, like looking at the way lyrics fall and playing with the aesthetic of the lines, you know, and like, and really kind of sometimes writing the lyrics and then working the music to it, you know, and really be able to play with the way that those things fall, you know. That to me is the greatest challenge, is finding new ways to do things that you feel like you've been doing forever. But once you've gotten to the point where you've kind of turned around and you have this massive material, it's like, where do you go to kind of keep it fresh? And that's kind of where I've been looking at this stuff.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting too about this record, that's almost flipped from the old thing, you know, because coming from Slipknot, even though Stone Sour existed, it was almost surprising when we would hear a song like, what was that? Look at the country's Breath of Fresh Smoke.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost surprising. Now it's almost surprising when I'm listening to your solo records and I hear the heavy stuff, like you're still bringing out, like your voice is still a beast. You know, it comes out of there.
This is probably the best my voice has sounded in years too. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Well, that's what, when I was younger and I would hear people over 40 singing heavy music, you know, screaming, I always thought when I was younger that that must be performative, because where are you finding that?
Right.
You know, when you're older. And now that I've gotten older, it's like, that's not the case. That doesn't need to be performative. Where is that coming from for you now? And has that changed through the years? Because it's still, like I said, extremely heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'll ever be a truly peaceful person. And I know that's so cliche these days, but I mean, you know, there's still things that get my blood up. Maybe it's the Irish in me. Maybe it's the German in me. I'm not really, maybe it's a combination of the two. You know, there's still things in this world that fire me up hard, you know, especially the way that we talk to each other and the way we act towards each other. And the way we treat people these days is so ugly and gross that it makes me need to use that voice, man. You know, but just when I thought I could kind of keep myself calm when just talking to my kids, I'm unleashing the dad voice on the audience. You know, it's poor Griff grew up with it more than his sister has, but he definitely knows when it's time to straighten up and listen to dad, you know, which is probably why he has that voice now. But I've just got, you know, I don't know if it's just because I'm protective of people or if I'm really, you know, conscious of the things that go on culturally, society-wise, politically. I mean, just like so many different things that you can look at that fire you up, that if you have that passion, it's never going to go away, you know? So for me, that's really what it is. As long as you're writing about the things that you can, you know, kind of, you know, lean into eloquently in that sense, then that thing's going to it's just going to come naturally. It's when you try to force it, that it sounds forced. And I don't think people realize that, man. It's like when you hear something that feels forced, it's probably because that artist doesn't really believe in it, you know? And to me, I'm never going to do that to the audience. I'm never going to make people feel like I'm talking about something that I don't care about, because I don't have time for that. Nobody has time for that.
Well, and that's evident too, because I think that's, you know, as we go back to the beginning of the interview, hearing all these different sounds, it's not like you tried to say, well, I'm the metal guy, so here's another metal album. You know, it's like you do get those songs. You do go from metal to country, you know, back to back, and somehow make that work.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Corey Taylor.
Which, by the way, I brought that song up, the Breath of Fresh Smoke. Does, on a song like that, where you even reference gasoline, and which might be used as a country trope, sometimes, you know, the road,
right?
Does the line come first and then you're like, this is a country song, or does the style come first and you're like, and now we're throwing in the, you know? Yeah,
it's a good question. I mean, I wrote that song 16 years ago, or actually longer, this about 17 years ago, to be honest. And I wrote that song when I discovered Ray LaMontagne, and who is to me one of the greatest modern songwriters. You know, he and Ani DiFranco really were the two people that inspired me to write acoustically, and to take it to the places that I've been able to kind of take it to. And when I was writing that, I wanted to kind of get into somebody else's perspective, you know, and really try to, you know, take it somewhere. So the line, you know, she had a full tank of gas and half a mind to try, you know, like that to me came very quickly, because that song is all about getting out of a small town, getting out of a small situation, getting out of a relationship that makes you feel small, you know? Like, so that to me was the key, was the escape, was the run towards the freedom that your heart is just so desperate to feel, you know? And once I found that, it didn't really matter if it was country, or, 'cause I kind of call it an Irish country, you know? That, so it's in 3/4. And it just, that bounce where you're sitting on the stool going, I just want to sing along to this song, you know? And once I had that, I was like, this thing's going to be really a lot of fun. And I've played it over the years in a couple of different amalgamations that I've had. And people responded so well to it that I was like, well, I'll tell you what, if I get the chance to make that second album, that one's going on there. And I know I've heard from people that are like, we've been waiting years for you to really record this. So it was very gratifying.
Yeah. When I was listening to it in the car, and that was one of the things, like, he wrote a waltz. Look at that.
I did.
He put a waltz on the record. And those moments are, they're, you know, like I said, so much on here that it's just kind of fun to kind of grab and hang on, you know. And I brought up, like, Midnight's is great and Talk Sick is great. I was watching you play the recording you showed of the little amp that you used on that. Although I'd wondered, like, maybe it's just coincidence because music, but Sleigh Bells Infinity Guitars has that same type of intro. And I was like, I wonder if that was sort of in the back of his mind.
No, not really. I mean, we just wanted it to sound like somebody was carving up the speaker with razor blades, you know, like we wanted it to have that this gross vibe, because that song is kind of like an amalgam of punk and pub rock in a weird way, you know, and then there's hardcore at the end. So it's like this really weird collision of great styles that just works for some reason, you know. So I wanted it to come out of the gate almost like the killer coming out of the closet with a chainsaw, you know. He's ready to get you, and that just had that right tone. So I mean, it's a good coincidence, a good, you know, good problem to have, basically.
I love every bit of it. You're out on the road, like I said, we're gonna see you here in Louisville. You're playing Louder Than Life on September 22nd. You're on the same day as Tool and Godsmack and Bizkit and Megadeth and Bad Omens and Dance Gap. Like, that's a pretty good day. So
yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
Famous Monsters, are you still working on that?
Absolutely. My partner Eben and I are kind of putting the foundation pieces together. Our first real convention back as Famous Monsters is coming up October 13th to the 15th in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. And we are still working on putting together almost a semi-annual magazine again. We are looking to kind of start co-producing movies and really getting the name and the brand back out there in a way that it, you know, cherishes its legacy, but is moving into the modern times. You know, we want it to be very well-rounded and something that, you know, it draws people in, whether you're into current, you know, monster movies or the old stuff. We want it to feel we're bringing the family back together again, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I bought it in the first place. I was just like, this is a place, I want this place to feel like the destination, you know, and I want people to feel good when they talk about it.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you do with that. I'm looking forward to seeing you back here in Louisville, Corey. It's always so fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time today, man.
No worries, man. It's my pleasure. Thanks, buddy.
My thanks to Corey Taylor. The new album is called CMF2. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the full series again. I give you brand new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover those new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classic tracks from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. We got the best of new music. There's music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows had the music of The Cure, XTC, Jeff Buckley, The Smashing Pumpkins, Bjork, Annie Lennox, Tori Amos, The Sex Pistols, Haim, The Heavy, Big Star, The Jam, The Clash, Big Audio Dynamite, Genesis, Owusu, The Ego Trippers, David Bowie, Roger Waters, Local Natives, Katie Lang, Daft Punk, Chemical Brothers, Beck, Bob Marley, Parliament, Black Pumas, Delta Spirit, Biba Doobie, and my interview with Keanu Reeves with his band Dogstar. Just an example of what you get every weeknight at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social medias, any social media spot. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'll talk to you guys. Talk to you guys later.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.